Now we're in a transition a little bit. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. We're broadcasting live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Want to thank them for their contribution. Thanks to Evan Thomas. He gets us up and running and motivated every morning and twitching away. And thanks to everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Also, thank you for listening on this Monday, April 22nd.
And thanks to our executive producer. He is Mr. Dustin William Rhodes.
Everybody looking at it like, oh, he's just crazy. It's a conspiracy. It's this, it's that. At the end of the day, that's real. And I out there put that my reputation online, had everybody thinking I was crazy. But at the end of the day, who's the crazy one now?
Yeah. It's interesting to hear from the great Ryan Garcia, and he was nuts in that whole preview to the fight and everything, and he won. And it doesn't count because he was overweight. But there you go. That's the fun part of boxing. And thank you, Brandon Fryer, for your contribution.
Look, I'm all in. I love it. You know, it replaces a lot of the competitiveness that I had in basketball, but this is even worse, you know, because I have no control. If I was playing basketball, I have total control, but I have no control. So I live vicariously through the drivers and all the, you know, crew chiefs and everybody. So, I mean, I'm very happy for 23-11, 110%.
Michael Jordan speaking. You don't hear from Mike all the time. I forgot how he sounded. That was wonderful. It's great to have him in town. Oh, no, wait.
No.
But they did.
He would not have been speaking.
The ceiling is the roof.
And here we have the great Lawrence Holmes. He's here. And it's a Layla Wednesday. Come on now. And there's no Dan.
It's Monday.
A Layla Wednesday on a Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Well, and the holiday begins at sundown.
The holiday does begin at sundown.
Yes, but Dan is cooking for 25 people.
So that's what we surmised yesterday at work based on logistics, because I'm not of the faith, but I try to be a keen observer and respecter of the faith. So then I was like, wait a second, is Dan off on the wrong day? And then Mike Berman's like, was he preparing food for a Seder? And I was like, that's it, Mike. That's why you're a reporter.
He's doing the heavy lifting, apparently, for the Seder at the Bernsteins. Seems like it's going to be a good time.
Sounds tasty.
I might have to roll by.
There's one thing I enjoy. It's a good flourless chocolate cake.
Hey,
it's that time of year. I like some unleavened bread, too. I'm a fan.
What happened this weekend to the Cubs? Are we okay with what happened this weekend with the Cubs?
A push feels like a loss.
Yeah. Oh, David said they lost the series 2-2.
They did. That was disappointing. I think it's disappointing because they ended the weekend with closer question that didn't exist necessarily. It wasn't as loud as it does now, and Kyle Hendricks remains a mystery.
Oh, I've been asking that closer question. I asked it in the off season. All these people are like, why is she crying about that? We have our guy. Do you?
Whose voice is that?
Whiny men on social media who make up things I say or say that I'm an idiot. Well, I guess I knew something after all now, didn't I? And I hate it because it means I'm not hoping somebody fails. I was just like, I don't know, guys. I think they need somebody else.
How about the statistical anomaly of that crazy inning for Hendricks where he faces six batters and he throws 9 pitches and they score 3 runs?
Yeah.
He faced seven, right?
Yes.
Because he gave up 4 singles and then he got 3 outs and they wound up with what was it, 9 pitches?
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, he gave up 4 consecutive singles, and they scored 3 runs. It was just the weirdest anomaly, but it was also really awful.
Yes. And it unlike the other ones, other starts that he's had, he wasn't getting tattooed.
No.
Other than that home
run.
That went 460?
Yeah, it was a
blast.
And
you know what? That was a good pitch. He had to dig deep for that one.
I appreciate the Marlins saying, we've got a plan, and our plan is we are swinging on the first pitch because we know that we don't have to worry about anything. You can just think changeup. You can cover his fastball.
Yeah.
But he's trying to integrate that curve into things now, and it's just not working. I appreciate the technician. I appreciate him searching for answers. It's just not working.
It's hard to watch guys like that who you respect and like for a very long time struggle at the end.
Agreed.
That's it. There is a piece of this is someone who appreciates the body of work and knows what it means.
John Lester, Jake Arrieta, they both at the end, Phillip it was Umber. Hard to watch.
No, I'm just kidding.
A bumper.
Yesterday was the anniversary. Houston.
Yes, it was.
Yesterday was the anniversary of the perfect game, of the Phillip Umber perfecto in Seattle.
Also, as Chris Kampka pointed out, the last time all four teams won on the same day in Chicago. Hawks, Bulls, Cubs, and Sox.
2012?
Wow. Yeah.
That was it.
Wow.
That was it.
That's sobering.
Yeah, that's very, surprising. Very much is.
An exercise in randomness, but also sobering.
How did you enjoy the Bulls season finale?
I did not.
The post-game press conference was pretty compelling, and then the next day press conference was even more compelling.
Yeah, that was good. It was just, they didn't even turn up. I mean, they didn't have the good intention of winning.
Can I just say that, and we're going to get into this a little bit later on, actually at the start of the show, but there really does need to be a deeper examination of Heat culture, because I look at the game that Hawk has had. It's a rookie, and he took it to you. And this isn't the first time that we've seen it. We saw Max Strus do this when he was in Miami. There is something that they are doing in their development that needs to be replicated.
Well, it's also their scouting.
I'll suggest that.
Period.
That's a scout. They identify traits in players that they know will work with them because they respect those kind of traits.
Yep.
They're not always looking for things that are as obvious to other people who are evaluating talent or whatever. They also look at whether it's basketball character or something about the players they bring in. They know that they can count on them.
Well, think
they're
about
also
that.
Bringing in players who are not afraid to push back. The poster child is clearly Jimmy Butler.
For sure.
But the point is, they don't mind a few dissenting opinions as long as you bring them.
And Hawkes was what, the 18th pick or something like that. So that's the late half of the second half of the first round. You're finding a starter, a guy that starts a play-in game in the. So don't tell me that it can't be done.
Yeah, I think the general way to describe it would be they value mental toughness more than most teams in the league.
I remember Eric Spoelstra saying at a shoot-around pre-Bulls game, this is probably 4 years ago, he talked about the personality type of Jimmy Butler, and we were asking why it's been able to work so well. And he said, he goes, we like guys who are type A and want to be seen.